Mondays, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Another day, another failed attempt to pass a government spending plan on Capitol Hill. House Speaker Mike Johnson.
We will regroup and we will come up with another solution.
The second try, this time on a plan approved by President-elect Trump and Elon Musk. CBS's Jared Hill.
The revised bill was a slimmed-down version of the larger bipartisan spending package that Republican leaders abandoned on Wednesday. But it also added Trump's demand to raise the debt ceiling for 2 years before he takes office. GOP leaders blame the Democrats for the impasse, though dozens of House Republicans also voted against the Trump-backed bill.
If lawmakers don't come to an agreement by the end of the day, millions of people who either work for the federal government or count on benefits and services will be in limbo. Aaron Barker is with the American Federation of Government Employees.
It could be very bad if it gets to a point where TSA workers have to choose between, am I going to feed my children, put gas in my car, or come to work because they're without a paycheck?
Less than 2 weeks after rebels overthrew dictator Bashar al-Assad, U.S. diplomats are visiting Syria. Correspondent Michael Wallace.
The new rulers from the group HTS want to be removed from the U.S.'s terror list. The diplomats want HTS's help in finding Austin Tice, the American journalist who was kidnapped during Syria's civil war 12 years ago. It's not clear who took him, where they held him, or if Tice is still alive.
It's the first U.S. diplomatic visit to Damascus in over a decade. Here in the U.S., snow, ice, bitter cold, and powerful winds are blasting the Midwest, the Great Lakes, and the Northeast. It was a surprise for this guy in Minnesota.
It's just so much snow today. It was really unexpected. I thought it was going to be 3 inches.
They got more than half a foot. The weather could get in the way of travel for millions of people driving or flying to holiday destinations. The young man accused of killing United Healthcare CEO spent his first night in a New York City jail after he was charged with federal crimes that could bring the death penalty. CBS's Anna Schechter.
The Manhattan District Attorney is charging on terrorism charges, which is one thing, you know, inciting fear and terror in the population. And then the federal charges, aside from the murder, it's really looking at him as a stalker.
Starbucks fans may have to skip their peppermint mochas and iced sugar cookie lattes this morning. Unionized baristas plan to begin 5 days of strikes over pay and benefits at stores in L.A., Chicago, and Seattle. They're expected to expand to the East Coast by Christmas Eve. S&P futures down 48. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Chwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film and TV critic Matt Miller. And it's a Bar Band Friday night as Terry Barr drops in with new music and great conversation. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Chwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be partly cloudy and not as windy today. We'll get to right around 25 or so this afternoon with wind out of the northwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, we'll drop down into the single digits. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy in the low 20s. We'll be back to near 30 by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Luke Mathers stops by with a Friday edition of Tuesday Tangents with Luke and also our final day to win prizes in our Text to Win contest. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Do with Derrick Henry in the open field and keep the King's name out your mouth.
96.7 FM, 1670 AM.
The Zone.
What a mess. I mean, literally, what a mess. I'm not just talking about Wisconsin weather. I'm talking about the craziness that's continuing in Washington, D.C. It's a Friday. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. They couldn't get a stripped-down version passed last night for the continuing resolution. They've started to pull elements involving agriculture out of the latest version. I'll give you an update. Also this morning, we're congratulating the 2024 Wisconsin Outstanding Teacher. Wisconsin Ag in the Classroom selected a teacher from the Milwaukee public school area. Tell you about that. We're also visiting with a first-generation soybean grower in Barron County. All of his life, although he didn't grow up on a farm, he was committed to being a farmer. Why did Tanner Johnson decide that was his chosen profession? We'll find out. Weather-wise, you're going to find out. There's plenty of snow out there, depending on where you are. Snowfall reporters, weather reporters, you are welcome to use the talk text line this morning and let me know what your backyard looks like. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. How was the drive home last night? Or maybe you're on the roads this morning. Let me know what you're seeing. Scattered snow could continue through late morning today. Daytime highs are expected to be 30 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Winds are going to kick up today out of the north, gusting as high as 30 miles an hour. Tonight, down to 6 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny. 19 the expected high, but a nasty northerly wind will take our wind chills tomorrow down to about zero. Sunday, partly sunny and 29. Monday, a chance of rain or snow before noon. Daytime highs on Monday, around 38 degrees. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, on the way with weather in about 15.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to outyield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. If there's an emergency on the farm, do your employees know who to call and the directions to give the first responders? Bethany Alcouter joins us from the National Center for Farm Worker Health. She says there are a few key cultural barriers that make it hard for emergency services to respond to issues either at the farm or employee housing. And it's more than just a language barrier. First, she paints the picture for us of just how many farmer workers there are in the United States.
There's around 2.5 million folks working on farms in the U.S., and that includes both folks working with crops and with animals. These are mostly pretty young folks. About 42% are under 35 years old. About two-thirds are male, and a little over half speak Spanish as their primary language.
The H-2A visa program contributes to the farm worker population.
The H-2A visa program is a program that allows folks from other countries to come to the U.S. to work on crop farms for a few months, up to about a year, and then they go back home. This is a really fast-growing program, and we've been paying special attention to them in terms of emergencies and disasters because they don't live here year-round. They really aren't terribly familiar with a lot of things that we that are just normal to those of us who live here all the time.
Bethany says there are several unique housing solutions that farmers use to make sure their workers have a place to live while they're here.
Farm workers can live you know, they can live on the farm or they can live off the farm. Many farm workers live in standard single family homes or apartments, but a lot of farm workers live in more unusual types of housing. Barracks, we see that a lot. Another really common housing type now is workers living in hotels. So the employer will rent out a set of rooms or the entire hotel to house those workers, especially if they are those H-2A workers who are staying here temporarily. And we've seen all kinds of other types of housing, like shipping containers, shacks and sheds, barns. In California, it's real common for folks to rent out the garage of a house. And so all of that kind of combined is what makes overcrowding really common. And this is a big concern, of course, for fires and other things.
But how do you know if you have an overcrowding issue? Bethany defines it for us.
So the census defines overcrowding as having more than one person per room in a housing unit. And from some work we did interviewing about 1,100 farm workers a couple years ago, depending on where you are in the country, about a fourth to more than two-thirds of farm workers will live in overcrowded housing.
Another common issue when it comes to farm worker housing and emergency services is that the workers may not know their address, either of their house or where they work.
There's a lot of reasons for this, one of which that probably we all know is that rural addresses don't necessarily reflect where you are, especially if you put it in a GPS. It's not always going to take you to the right place. But a really common issue is that workers who come from Mexico or many other Latin American countries don't use addresses. That's not a concept that's very common. What they do use is intersections or landmarks. So we've seen this a lot where a farm worker needs to call 911 because of an injury or something like that, and they cannot communicate to the responder their address. And the example I had here was we were helping one worker who had been in the U.S. 2 days, had a health emergency and was trying to tell 911 where he is, but he didn't know his address, didn't have enough landmarks in the community to really understand where he was. We ended up having to use, you know, Google satellite to figure out which hotel he was staying in.
Cultural hurdles that farms are facing today that could prevent first responders from arriving on time in an emergency. Bethany Alcouter painting the picture for us today. She's the Director of Research and Public Health Programs at the National Center for Farm Worker Health. Pittsville Fire Chief Jerry Miner joins us with some important reminders for fire or other disaster safety, particularly when it comes to farm employees. He says it starts with partnerships.
You have to go out and find these places. We need to make partnerships with these farms. And it's not just to deal with the migrant workers, the seasonal workers. There are 100,000 things on farms that we need to be familiar with. And when a lot of your firefighters today have not grown up on farms, that creates an enormous problem. So we pre-plan, we map our farms, and we'll just keep going forward from there.
Chief Miner says that even if your farm worker housing is not required to have a fire inspection, make an effort to work with your local firefighting crew to have the boxes checked if there is an emergency. Make sure there's smoke detectors, an evacuation plan, and information sheets for employees on how to call 911 and the information they need to give first responders.
Where are they on the farm in need of help? Are they in the back 40? Is their cell phone going to track them through the 911 system so it shows that they're not in the barn? When we arrive on the property, if we have the farm pre-planned, we have all the buildings identified that they are in, for example, building 4. Multiple buildings on the property don't give us any guarantee of where we're going to find the person. So, again, we pre-plan the farms. We try to get as much information about what's going on in that operation, and then working with them on how to call 911 and what is the information that's needed.
He says his team does find that a language barrier can be the largest hurdle.
Language is probably our number one issue that we deal with. And we, too, have a list of people that we can call, but they're not always available. At 3 a.m., I can't get all those people. We've used the Translate app on the phones and on the tablets. But again, there are limitations to all those things. So again, find out as much as you can ahead of time. In my setting, I have trucking companies, I have cranberries, I have dairy, and I have industrial applications where we find seasonal and migrant workers. So we find them everywhere today. It's not an uncommon issue.
Fire Chief Jerry Miner says prevention is going to be the best method.
Part of our job in the fire service is not just to go out and put out fires. We try to prevent the fires from happening in the first place. When we teach somebody how to use a fire extinguisher, that means that fire prevention hasn't worked. So let's prevent the problem before we have an issue. First aid and stop the bleed. One of the farms we've been working with here locally, it's a very slow process to teach first aid because we're working through a translator all the time. And getting them comfortable with taking care of one another has always been an issue, but we've managed to muddle through it quite often. Having an emergency action plan is great, but they also need to practice it. And it can't be something that's just sitting on the desk that meets the insurance company's requirement. They actually have to practice what it says. Multilingual messaging, as the slide says, exit signs, how to call for help, confined space, all those things need to be put in the language of the employee to do it correctly. And again, the very last comment there, regular communication, it is critical that we stay up with these folks all the time. They're a big part of our community. They need to work with us. We need to work with them.
He says there are some new tools on the market today to help make it easier for emergency services to respond to accidents on the farm.
Farm Mapper is a program that's free. You can look at it online. This is an overview of a farm. So building one, building two, building three, so on and so forth, that's identifying the buildings themselves. You can have a footnote off to the side as to what that building is. So building one is the living quarters. Building two is the commodity shed. Building four is where all the equipment is stored. Where are the animals? You can see the icon for that. Confined spaces, the manure pits. All of these things are identified ahead of time. We can pull up this map either en route to the scene or when we get on scene, because at 3 a.m., it's very difficult to see a lot of hazards that we may have previously identified. I don't want to walk into a manure pit at 3 a.m. because it looks like it's a solid piece of ground, especially in the middle of winter, because it is not. This is our version of how to plan the response and what hazards are on that property that can hurt my firefighters. As we do this, we also work with the farmer as we go through. We identify hazards that they can correct to protect their employees.
And you can learn more about Farm Mapper by visiting the National Farm Medicine Center online. Pittsville Fire Chief Jerry Miner along with us. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
The Todd Allball Show.
Luke Mathers, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Allball Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
As all those last-minute shoppers cram up the roads and the stores, we'll ask Friday what we need to do to keep it the most wonderful time of the year.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Somebody else out on the roads with me, and that this morning was a lot of landscapers doing the, you know, driveways, sidewalks, etc. Of course, our city and county folks are out there doing great work, and the totals are adding up. Alto Butch says about 80 inches there. Linda from Reeseville about 7 inches and still snowing. Stand up by Green Bay, 6+ inches. What do you got?
Well, I've got amounts all over. Some of them aren't coming in like they should here in the Fond du Lac Eden area, about 7 inches. Green Bay at 5.1, Milwaukee at 3.8, Wausau officially now, these are official numbers, 2.7. La Crosse is a big R, a record next to theirs at 6.6, Madison at 4.8. And I know in my neighborhood, the snowplow went through, followed closely by a milk hauling semi. So everybody's on the road, got to get there where they got to be. The winter weather advisory is still in effect for a little while yet, till 6. And that spreads from the Dells and down in Dodge County on through Madison, Portage, that area, and further east over to the lakeshore. A winter storm warning still in effect till 6. That's in Winnebago, Calumet, Manitowoc, up into Brown County, Kewaunee, and up into the Door Peninsula. What we have to talk about is still some snow falling, especially in southeast and east central Wisconsin. The heaviest is away from us. We later today will be clearing out, but the temperatures now are going to stay a little bit cooler. I'll have forecast details right after this.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump. Patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
All right, buddy, let's have that forecast because it's going to be interesting all through the weekend.
Yeah, there's going to be a cool off here now. Some snow in the east and south, ending cloudy skies almost anywhere, clearing from west to east today. Temperature still not bad. I expect upper 20s in the east and south, maybe low 20s in the far northwest with the north winds 5 to 15. Today gusting some 25 or 30. Clearing out, getting colder, single digits above zero tonight, down towards zero in the far northwest. Saturday, mostly sunny, cooler. A lot of teens, upper teens south, very low teens further north, with a calm breeze. And Sunday, partly sunny, pan the warm-up returning. We push back in mid and upper 20s and could see some 30s by Monday. Maybe a little snow, could be some raindrops Monday too.
Ooh, just out of curiosity for folks that are going to have to be on the roads making some miles, let's say I don't know, right before Christmas. How's that looking?
I don't see a big problem. Cloudy skies, and it's going to be fairly mild. I mean, Christmas Day looks to me in the south to be in the mid or upper 30s.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. All right, buddy. Very good. Well, that's going to do it for me. I'll talk to you in 2025. All right.
Run away and hide now. It's winter.
Yeah, I just wish I was hiding in a warmer place. All right, buddy. See you later.
See you later. Yep. Bye.
Stumach, ag meteorologist, along with us, and your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. See more at compeer.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Mathers, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. But I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the National DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. A second funding bill has failed on Capitol Hill, pushing the government closer to a weekend shutdown. Maryland Democrat Jamie Raskin.
There's a very simple way out of this, and it's the only way out of this, which is to go back to the original agreement that was hammered out over many weeks of painstaking bipartisan negotiation.
This time, several conservative Republicans joined Democrats in defeating the Trump-approved plan. American diplomats are in Syria for the first visit since rebels overthrew the Assad regime. The BBC's Tom Bateman.
Washington is effectively laying down a set of conditions before it would consider delisting the group, a critical step which could help ease the path towards sanctions relief that Damascus desperately needs.
A winter storm has slammed the upper Midwest. This man's been shoveling in Rochester, Minnesota.
I don't mind it. I look at it as a good way to get some exercise. I'm healthy.
The weather could mess up holiday travel for millions of people. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Jim Carrey was serious about retiring from acting until he wasn't. The actor told the Associated Press that he was going to retire, but bought a lot of stuff and needed money. Desperation is not a very good negotiating tactic, so I'm guessing that is why Carrey probably walked back his comments to comicbook.com, saying he was joking. You can catch Carrey in Sonic Hedgehog 3 in theaters December 20th. In Where Are They Now News, one of the lovable thugs in Home Alone was played by Daniel Stern. You might remember him as the guy who had maybe the greatest scream in movie history when Macaulay Culkin put the huge spider on his chest. Stern posted a video on Blue Sky showing what he is doing now, tangerine farming. He gave his followers a tour of his studio and fruit squeezing apparatuses. It was actually really cool. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jordan Love says he's good to go. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers holding practice this weekend, getting ready for Monday Night Football after suffering a knee injury in September and later a groin injury. Now, in late December, quarterback Jordan Love was asked how he's feeling heading into this week's game against the Saints.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling a lot better physically, you know, not really dealing with any lingering injuries. So it feels good being out there, and, you know, it definitely helps being 100% and not having to worry about anything being out there on the field.
The Packers 13.5 point favorites over New Orleans. NBA, the Bucks are on the road tonight against the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Then tomorrow night, they'll be back home against the Washington Wizards. The Badgers basketball team hosts the Detroit Mercy Titans Sunday at 1 p.m. Badgers center Stephen Crowell on improving after a rough start to the season.
I just got to keep giving credit to my teammates and my coaches pushing me these past few weeks, and just being coachable, I think, is the big thing. You can't point fingers. You got to look yourself in the mirror and just figure it out.
That's the Badgers Stephen Crowell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt with Lean Local. This week's show, we discuss stress during the holiday season with Kimberly Johnson from Johnson Counseling.
Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, Sunday afternoons at 1 on 97.9 WGBW and the Civic Media app.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be partly cloudy and not as windy today. We'll get to right around 25 or so this afternoon with wind out of the northwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, we'll drop down into the single digits. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy in the low 20s. We'll be back to near 30 by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no healthcare policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbus Show.
Luke Mathers, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. So I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. But I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Evo, they're trotting out Spencer Rattler on Monday night. It's going to be a blowout.
Kind of a cool story on the way this morning. Have you ever seen a kid that's absolutely gaga for tractors? It's all they can think about every time one goes past a window or they see one in a field. They're pointing at it. Maybe that was their first word that they learned. Well, that's kind of one of my guests this morning. I've got to believe that Tanner Johnson was just like that when he was a kid. All of his toys in the middle of the carpet, farming every square inch. Well, today he is a first-generation farmer in Barron County, and he's not just a farmer that wants to farm. He's a farmer that wants to stay engaged in the process that influences his future as a farmer. We're going to talk with first-generation 31-year-old Tanner Johnson before we wrap her up on a Friday. Welcome back, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. On the 20th day of December, one item for you this morning. On this day back in 1946, the Christmas classic, It's a Wonderful Life, debuted in New York. Of course, that film was directed by Frank Capra, starred Jimmy Stewart, Donna Reed, and Lionel Barrymore. It's a Wonderful Life premiered on this day back in 1946. And now you know. Mentioned that we're talking to first generation Tanner Johnson before we wrap it up on a Friday. There are many in the audience that have been farming for generations. Charity Seebecker catches up with us this morning to visit with a family in Manitowoc County that's been around for more than 100 years.
We're recognizing farms and homesteads that have been in the family for more than 100 or 150 years. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and one farm being recognized is Pine Lawn Farms. This Manitowoc County farm is nestled along the Manitowoc River in Cato and has a rich history dating back to 1874 when Halvorsen Peterson, a Norwegian immigrant who worked on the railroads, purchased the farm. Today, however, Pine Lawn Farm spans 110 acres, and though the family no longer raises cattle, the land is rented out and managed as an LLC. Dan Peterson shares more about the history of his family's farm.
They came over from Norway, and a couple of years he was working on railroad beds, and then he found this place in 1874, and he bought it then. It was a guy's name was Halvor Peterson Holm, which would have been my great-grandfather.
And so take me through a little bit more about that original farm, what buildings were on it, the size, the acreage, what type of farm even. Kind of paint that picture for us.
It's along the Manitowoc River in Cato. There was like a Durpin church there, and it turned out that most of our neighbors were either cousins or their last name ended in Esselen also. So great-grandfather's name was Halvorsen Peterson Holm, and then his kids, I think he had about eight, and my grandfather Clarence was one of them. They all went by Clarence Peterson and dropped the Holm because the Holm is the area they came from Norway. And when they came over on the boat, that's how they kind of knew where everybody was from. They took the last name of the area in Norway. And then once they got over here, everybody just dropped that. So he bought it, and I think there was the log house and a log barn. And then he built on like a two-story farmhouse on it, and they moved the barn around a bit. But that's still pretty much, and they moved the barn, but that's still pretty much what's there now. Part of the farmhouse is the original log part, the kitchen, and a two-story house. They added on somewhere in there just a little bullpen and camp pen. And they had the litter carrier added on. And he had like, I guess it was 25 registered Guernseys, Graydon Guernseys at that time. And then also the kind of interesting thing is there, it's right along the Manitowoc River, which it was a real nice area. There's Lower Cato Falls there. So it was kind of a park area. And I remember we'd get the tractor and the hay wagon and we'd ride down this kind of rough ravine and have picnics down there. I was really young. But in the 60s, Dad sold it to the county, and now it's part of its Lower Caddo Falls County Park. So it's now a county park down there.
So tell me a little bit about what those first years were like. Any stories that were passed down about farming through wars, Great Depression, or anything that sticks out to you, whether good or bad?
Of course, during the wars there was a lot of rationing. And we still have some foods that my grandmother, Agnes Peterson, made. You know, it was very much whatever food was on the farm. You know, the cream they'd use a lot. Like, we'd have lettuce with just cream and vinegar and sugar on, because that was the staples back then. And there were a number of things where, you know, we still kind of had foods that they had just as staples. Dad, one of the things he liked was ham grease and a piece of white bread and sugar, and that was his treat.
Dan Peterson shares the story of his family farm in Manitowoc County. The Century and Sesquicentennial Farm Program originated as part of Wisconsin's Centennial Celebration in 1948. Each year, about 100 properties are honored. You can listen to some of these stories at MidwestFarmReport.com. These stories are brought to you courtesy of Compere Financial. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
November milk production numbers came out yesterday, and boy, did California get hit by the high-path avian influenza that they've been battling with. California's November milk production was down more than 9% this week. They declared a state of emergency in California because of high-path avian influenza, even though they are starting to recover. Wisconsin's milk production was also flat compared to a year ago. Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service says we produced 2.58 billion pounds of milk this November, with about 4,000 fewer cows out there. Our average per cow production, 2,035 pounds, unchanged from last year. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning are holding fairly firm right now. We've got the March corn up to currently at 443. December new crop, that's currently trading up to at 437. January soybeans are up 7 at 970. November beans up 7 at 983. March wheat's up 2 at 535. July new crop up 2, 553 a bushel. Barrel cheese yesterday dropped a half a cent to 176. Make that 2.5 cents to 176. 40-pound block cheese was down a half at 185 and a half, while AA butter stood still. The January Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 24 cents at 1973 a hundredweight. And a big congratulations this morning to the 2024 Wisconsin Outstanding Teacher. His name, Joshua Gonzalez. He is a second grade teacher and agriculture committee chair at River Trail School of Agriculture Science in Milwaukee Public Schools. He was recognized by the Wisconsin Ag in the Classroom. Now, this is a unique school. It was Milwaukee's first specialty agriculture school, and it works with students from pre-kindergarten through eighth grade. Joshua says his kids may not come from wealth, but he said by educating them, they can know where their food comes from, how it's produced sustainably, and make good choices for the future. Find out more about Joshua at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams was denied access to over $4 million in matching public funding for his 2025 campaign due to questions over an ongoing federal investigation and accusations of financial mismanagement. The U.S. Department of Justice filed charges against the mayor in September, charging him with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He is also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal these transactions, according to the DOJ. The New York City Campaign Finance Board ruled December 16th that Mayor Adams' request for $4.5 million in matching funds would be denied. The chair of the board said in a statement, "After thoroughly reviewing all available information, including the details of the indictment of Mayor Adams, the board has determined there is reason to believe the Adams campaign has engaged in conduct detrimental to the matching funds program in violation of law, including the Campaign Finance Act and board rules." New York City's campaign finance system provides an 8-to-1 match for small donations of $250 or less for mayor and $175 for city council. Such small donor financing systems promote transparency, discourage big money, and encourage less affluent candidates to run. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's comedy?
I think for me, one of the quick ones that I have is like telling time on an analog clock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it takes me a minute.
It takes me a minute.
That was funny.
Yeah.
That was at least groan worthy. At least groan worthy.
So groany.
I needed a minute for it to sink in.
No, that was funny. That's good.
Every weekday morning from 8 to 10, only on 97.5 FM, WFHR.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
Happy holidays, everybody. For my last show before I go on break, I'm joined by political editor Dan Schaefer for his naughty and nice lists and his wish list for 2025. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
They introduce you to this first generation farmer in Barron County. He's in the community of Prairie Farm. He just recently was named to the American Soybean Association's executive board as a member at large. He has been fascinated and in love with agriculture since he was a kid, did not grow up on a farm, but that didn't stop Tanner Johnson from engaging in the industry and now taking a part in leadership. I got a chance to visit with him and asked him to explain a little bit more about his quest to be a farmer.
Thanks, Pam. Excited to be here. So I'm 31. I think I'm on the younger side of ag, broken unconventionally, working with another farmer in the area. And he was very involved in the soybean family. And it wasn't really asked. It was more or less told to me that I'm going to get involved in it. So I did some leadership programs and kind of fell in love with the policy side. And, I've had to scratch and claw to get to my level of involvement in farming, and if I wasn't doing everything I could to help improve farming for the future, I feel like I wouldn't be giving back. So I guess that's kind of where I find myself.
So had you any connections with agriculture before you began down this road, Tanner?
So I grew up in Bangor, small town by La Crosse.
Yep, sure.
Not on a farm, but around farming. Was active in FFA and, you know, worked for farmers, not my whole life, but a significant portion of it. Then I went to River Falls for college, and I milked cows all through college to help pay for school, and got a degree in ag education. So I've been chasing agriculture for quite a while. I think deep down, my overarching goal was always to farm on my own, and I'm trying to do just that, and we're making a go of it anyway.
Yeah, that a boy. Now, it says that aside from soybeans, you've got a couple other crops that you dedicate time to, and you have some specific focus on environmental issues and trying to make sure you're doing what you can on the farm. Tell me a little bit about those philosophies.
So, full disclosure, Andy Benson is my mentor. I consider him probably the biggest teacher I've ever had in agriculture, and he's been using a lot of conservation practices, I mean, since the 80s or maybe before. So no-till or minimum till practices, implementing cover crops and unique cover crop mixes and stuff like that, strip till in the corn situations, and trying to reduce the amount of inputs we're putting in, right? If we can reduce fertilizer, reduce chemical, and give up some of our reliance on those tools, it's only going to make those tools more effective as we call on them as we need them. So I've learned a lot from Andy and a lot of other farmers in the area. I'm blessed to work with a lot of good farmers in the area. And, yeah, if we can keep doing our best to keep our tools as fresh and spry as possible, that's only going to go a long, long ways for us.
Tanner Johnson's along with us, as he said, first-generation farmer in Prairie Farm, Wisconsin. That's western Wisconsin, Barron County. He's been involved with the Wisconsin Soybean Association since 2017 when he was part of the DuPont Young Leaders Program, also a part of the Wisconsin Soybean Association's Board of Directors, and most recently now an at-large director on the American Soybean Association's Executive Board. Tell me what you've learned along the way about the Soybean Association, Tanner, and maybe the Soybean Marketing Board. Although distinctly separate, they do support one another. Tell me a little bit about what you've learned that maybe other farmers not on the board don't know about or aren't aware of.
Yeah, you queued that up really well, Pam. So the Chekhov and the association have distinct responsibilities for soybean farmers, but you know we are working together. On the association side, we're the ones calling on our state and national legislators and trying to use influence from the farmer's perspective, right, to make sure farmers have a better life. We're never looking for a handout, but we're looking to improve opportunities for us to sell our products that we work really hard to make. One of the biggest things I learned about the association is you don't need to be on the board to be an involved member. So I actually, my first role ever was just participating in the DuPont Young Leader Program at the time. Now it's the Corteva Young Leader Program. And that's just a two- or three-part program where they take you, I think, to the headquarters of Corteva in Iowa, and then they take you to Commodity Classic, which moves around the country. It's a large ag trade show in the wintertime. And you're part of a class with farmers from all around the country. I think we have like 26 states that are represented and Ontario, Canada. And through that, obviously, you're getting great networking with younger farmers, but you're also getting to see the power of what influence is doing on the state and national levels. And it really opens your eyes. A lot of the current programs and markets and things that we have today as farmers, they came just from farmers' efforts. Of course, the farmers hire staff and whatnot at WSA and ASA, but it's really the farmers meeting with the lawmakers that help drive a lot of the results we've gotten. And that really opened my eyes. I didn't get on the board until 2022. So I was just an involved member after the Young Leader Program. I had the opportunity to go to a couple different leadership programs that's put on by WSA and ASA. I went to the Soy Leadership Academy specifically in Orlando, Florida. Again, more younger leader focused, but there were some pretty experienced farmers in the room. And if I can ever shut my mouth and open my ears, I do listen. And I've learned a lot from a lot of those opportunities. Biggest takeaway I had was you don't need to be on the board to be an involved member, but as you become an involved member and you want to drive change in organizations, getting on the board is the next logical step, and I encourage anybody to start the way I did.
Let's talk a little bit more about the policy side of things, Tanner. You said that really tripped your trigger when you started hearing about the organization's activities and what's going on there, and of course that is what the American Soybean Association, the Wisconsin Soybean Association do, make sure they're telling the story of agriculture. Tell me what you've been engaged in lately when it comes to policy. I think everybody's going to assume the farm bill, but what else has been crossing your mind or conversations you've been having policy-wise?
Yeah, so as I was appointed or elected to represent Wisconsin on ASA, my scope changed a little bit, and I was put on the regulatory committee for ASA. And at first, I didn't fully understand the involvement that we were going to have, but I call that the blue-collar committee because we're meeting and talking a lot. The EPA is making a lot of changes, and they have the ability to influence agriculture pretty strongly, as farmers know, positively or negatively. And I don't envy the job the EPA has. That's a really, really big job. And, of course, it changes with different administrations. But when it comes to herbicide labeling and Endangered Species Act and things like that, we are constantly communicating with the EPA and our legislators about the importance of keeping our tools in the toolbox. There's an abundance of sound science out there that says the products we're currently using are safe for food and consumers alike, and we eat the food we're raising, right? So it's important to us that it's safe. So we're constantly communicating that and telling the message for agriculture. It's not the folks not from a farm's fault that they don't know about what goes on the farm, but it is our job to educate them. And I think, you know, groups like the American Soybean Association, Wisconsin Soybean Association are doing a really good job.
Hear, hear. Thanks, Tanner. Tanner Johnson, 31 years old, first generation farmer in Barron County and a member of the Wisconsin Soybean Association, now serving on the executive board of the American Soybean Association. We welcome your thoughts, Tanner. It's all brought to you courtesy of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. You want to find out about the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, how your soybean checkoff dollars are being invested, or maybe you want to find out about some of the work that the Wisconsin Soybean Association is doing. You'll find it all at wisoybean.org. That will do it for me, calendar year 2024. I'm going to be out on holiday break. The good news is you'll have Stephanie Hoff, Charity Seebecker, and Ben Jarbo taking care of you for the rest of 2024. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, everyone.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
People get hurt on the farm, so why don't we talk about it? Find out today on Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back-to-back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
There's a lot of accidents that happen on farms and in agriculture that does not get reported.
That's Sherry Saskowski, the safety manager at Wiffles Hybrids, a seed company in Geneseo, Illinois. Before taking her current job, Saskowski worked with Purdue University Extension in a safety role, plus earlier jobs in food production and processing. She says farmers are primarily self-employed and therefore not required by federal law to report on-the-job injuries.
There's probably some other reasons, some cultural reasons. There might be pride, maybe some fear of embarrassment. You know, the average farmer in the United States in 2022 was 58.1 years old, and farmers have a notoriously independent mindset. So they may be afraid that if they tell someone that they were injured, especially if they were in their older years, that they might have tasks taken away from them.
Saskowski says bringing the incidents of injuries out in the open may help prevent them in the future. And she adds, whether it's a farm or some other agricultural enterprise, it's good to have incentives in place for employees to report unsafe conditions. Good communication and a culture that promotes safety, she says, can lead to fewer injuries on the job. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it's Friday. That means it is time to recombobulate with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. And we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Ho-ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Ho-ho-ho!
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that, to me, is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
On this vote, the yeas are 174, the nays are 235.
Lawmakers on Capitol Hill have defeated a second spending plan to avert a government shutdown this weekend. This time it was backed by President-elect Trump and Elon Musk. Vice President-elect J.D. Vance.
The Democrats just voted to shut down the government because they didn't want to give the president negotiating leverage.
This time, many GOP lawmakers joined Democrats to oppose a plan that would have suspended the federal debt limit for 2 years. Bottom line, CBS's Jared Hill.
The shutdown would come at a high cost to federal workers just before the holidays. The Pentagon says active military personnel could go without a paycheck. So would TSA agents.
U.S. diplomats have arrived in Syria to meet with militias who assumed control of the government almost 2 weeks ago. The BBC's Tom Bateman.
This is the first American diplomatic appearance in Damascus in more than a decade.